You are now listening to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program on strangelabel.com. WFOD starts now.
Cardinals game, yes.
And you ordered nachos?
We got our hats. We got nachos.
You bought hats at the game?
No. These were free. You got them with the purchase of a ticket. So you had to get a ticket.
Oh, so you went into the game because they were giving away hats?
Yes. Got tickets. We got our hats. We went up to go get nachos. We sat down. We ate our nachos, collected our hats and belongings. And
so you didn't even watch the game?
No.
You just got the free hat?
Yeah. You couldn't pay me to sit through a fucking baseball game.
Guys, hello. Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program. I'm Mike. I'm joined, of course, by my co-host, Napier.
What's up?
And via Skype, the buzzsaw, the albino alligator, the king of pranks, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Boom, boom, into your room.
Phone number to contact the show is 636-487-HAND. And boy, howdy, do we have a show for you tonight. So much to discuss. In a little bit, we are going to be joined by Daniel Bayer, who goes by the moniker My Brother the Bear when he records his music songs. We're going to talk to him after the break. First, I want to tell you guys about my fridge.
Excellent.
Let me tell you. The WFOD sphere of influence is going to get the word out here. Don't buy frigid air because it's garbage.
What happened?
That's really all. I bought a refrigerator 6 years ago. When you buy a refrigerator, I mean, you expect a refrigerator to last a while, right?
Mine came with my house.
It came with the house?
Yep.
Like you had one there and it was just too heavy to move and they were like, fuck it, these things last a while, we'll just leave it here.
Oh yeah, this thing's from the fucking 70s.
And it works just fine.
Yep.
Got 6 years out of my refrigerator.
And
it stopped working. I called a guy to come out. Guy was kind of a dickhead. He came out and he ran a couple tests. And he goes, yeah, the compressor is bad on your refrigerator, and we'll fix it for $800. when you tell a fella, you know, we can fix something that costs $900 for $800, I mean, you just say, okay, well, I'll just spend the extra $100 and get a new one, right?
Yeah.
So we went and got a new refrigerator. They said it's going to be here in 28 days.
Jesus.
So in the meantime, I'm living out of coolers. I'm buying a lot of ice, Travis, is what I'm
only
doing.
Only 28 days, huh?
Buying a lot of ice is what I'm doing.
28 days? Where the fuck did you go?
It's kind of like we're camping. We're camping around the house here at the Moore household.
They made a movie where the entire, like, one entire island of Europe was, like, Britain was taken over by flesh-eating zombies in 28 days later. Yeah. It's a long time.
And here I am without a fridge for the same amount of time.
They couldn't get you a fridge sooner than that?
So mindless, flesh-eating fuck creatures can completely conquer a city in the amount of time it's going to take the Menards to bring me a new refrigerator.
You could have gone to Sears. I mean,
I went to every goddamn place that sells refrigerators in the St. Louis area, Napier. And see, they had a lot of refrigerators that, you know, they got all kinds of crazy refrigerators. They got refrigerators with TV screens on them. They got all kinds of shit now. It's a crazy world out there.
Yep.
But you can get the fridges that'll, like, order you milk and eggs and shit.
Yeah. You know, they got fridges that'll order you a Domino's pizza, Travis.
Mm-hmm.
You press the button on the fridge and the fucking pizza shows up. What could go wrong there? You know, I mean, you just have order me a pizza button on a phone. Can't you send Domino's a pizza emoji on Twitter and they'll bring you a pizza?
Yeah, and I think now Pizza Hut has those shoes that all you do is press the button and they'll bring you your favorite pizza.
Oh, like there's a pump on the tongue?
Yep, you press that pump and they know you want that Pizza Hut pizza real bad.
You see some morbidly obese dude on a Rascal just frantically hitting his sneaker button to get him a delicious goddamn Meat Lovers.
But not pressing it with his hand because he can't bend over, so he's kicking it into the handlebars of his Rascal, trying to get it to work.
Right, because you need that pizza. You need it now, and you don't want to talk to a person.
Are you using those grippers on a stick?
That's what we're all working towards, is a world where you don't have to talk to a person. And I'm for it, believe me. I don't want to talk to strangers. I order all of my pizzas online. I order them on their websites. I never talk to anybody. I wish that I could, like, get the pizza from the internet too. Like the internet just, you know, drones it to me or something. So I don't have to go in and talk to that
person. I remember that being like the worst possible thing. Like when we were in our late teens, early 20s, and we were hanging with buddies and you wanted to get a pizza and you were willing to throw down the $20 to not have to make that phone call to order it. I'll buy if you call.
Yeah.
The person
anything, as long as I don't have to speak to a human.
Oh God! Over.
You know, I went into the pizza place not too long ago, and usually there's like 20 people in there scrambling around to make the pizzas and cut the pizzas and all of that. And I went in there the last time I went in there, and it's just one gal in there doing everything. And I walked in, and I said to her, "Are you in here by yourself?" And she kind of looked at me like, why are you asking me that? And like, I was asking her that because I'm used to seeing a lot of people and I only saw one person, but I could see instantly on her face, oh no, this guy's going to try to get me. Yeah. He's just confirming that I'm alone. I swear I wasn't going to prey on her at all. I wasn't. I was trying to make conversation. And that's why you don't want to do it, Travis, because you don't want to trigger anyone. You don't want anybody to think that you're coming to get them.
Did she tell you there were 10 really big football players in the back?
Yeah, yeah. No, she didn't respond. She just asked me what my name was. Mm-hmm. And then, like, a delivery driver came in, and then she instantly relaxed.
Excellent.
Like, oh, thank God. This.
How did you ask her, though, if she was there by herself? Was that the first thing you said to her?
No, I walked in. And she was back there, like, pulling a bunch of pizzas out of the oven and trying to cut and catch up because it looked like they were backing up because, you know, she was doing everything. And I've been in the place a bunch of times. And every time I go in there, there's like 20 people buzzing around there. And, like, I went in there this time. And she was obviously by herself. And she was stressed out. And I was just trying to make pleasant conversation with her because she said something to me about how, you know, I got to give her just a minute because she's trying to, you know, not have all the pizzas burned while, you know, she's overwhelmed trying to collect them all. And I said, oh, wow, are you here by yourself? I was friendly about it. I mean, I wasn't trying to be a creep or anything. But it was obviously taken as though I was a creep.
You were putting on black leather gloves as you were asking if she was there by herself. You're looking around, your head's darting.
Hold on, let me see how many garbage bags I have in my back seat.
Excuse me, ma'am, have you ever screamed in here and have the neighbors heard?
Yeah, what do you say? say the soundproofing is in here? Like, we get like a busload of like T-ball players. Like, can you hear that from the outside?
Like, wow, man, that oven is really loud. Would you say that's a loud oven? Like, how how loud of an oven do you think that is next to it?
Like, did you see the guy on Facebook who murdered somebody live on Facebook?
And they actually Facebook actually disputed it. And it wasn't on the Facebook Live function. He actually posted it after it had happened to his personal feed.
Well, he's still on the run.
Yep.
Look, this guy is complete garbage. You know, fuck this guy is what I'm saying. Totally. But, I mean, at least he's making it, like, entertaining. You know what I mean?
I don't think the people who live there are as entertained.
The podcast people... And the people making documentaries and stuff, they're all looking for a great true life murder story now. It makes for great podcasting, makes for great documentaries. I've watched so many true murder things lately, and people are making livings on all this true murder stuff. And what I'm saying, if you're gonna murder, I mean, like, try to make it compelling in some way. You know, if you don't care about getting caught, if you don't care about, like, the consequences of your actions, I mean, like, make it into like a fun thing where, like, you know, you're writing letters to the press and like you get like a cool nickname and stuff.
Feel like this is less impressive than last year when the guy murdered the news anchor and the people she was interviewing live on air. Like, this was just some piece of shit who actually looks a lot like that other guy if you shaved his face, I think. But just some piece of shit that decided to just walk up to an elderly man who was walking home from Easter dinner and shooting him in the face while right. videotaping it.
Yeah, I mean, that's fucked up. It's awful. But, I mean, like, I'm interested in the resolution of the matter, you know?
He's dead. He'll be dead. They'll kill him.
Yeah, but the whole manhunt is the exciting part, right? I mean, like, the mass murderers who go do that thing real quick and then, like, the police kill them, that goes away fast.
I guess it depends on the extent.
I mean, you can't even really make a movie about it. They made that one about the Boston thing with Marky Mark, but, I mean, that you know, was a couple of days, the manhunt and stuff. You know, usually they don't get away. I'm saying, like, you know... What happened to, like, a good old serial killer?
Like, somebody they've been looking for, like, months, or they don't even have any idea who it is?
Yeah, yeah, and, like, writes notes and stuff. And
I feel like the age of serial killers is over, and I think we might have had this conversation, but only because the people who are committing the murders want that instant gratification and notoriety, so they are posting it directly to Facebook with their own profile, so you're never going to get that.
But wouldn't it be that much cooler?
The Zodiac Killer. Who's the Zodiac Killer? We still don't know. You know? But you'll never have that anymore because everybody wants a fucking pat on the... Oh, this guy. Ah, a little notoriety. You're never going to have it again.
I mean, all I'm saying is, like, Kevin Costner's never going to play you in a movie if you don't do anything, like, cinematic. You know, if you do it real quick and boring, like, and don't even try to get away with it, it's not interesting.
Well, when was even the last actual serial killer? The guy they didn't know who it was for a long time. There's a string of murders. They couldn't solve it. Then they cracked the case, or the guy made a slip up or wanted to get caught finally. When was that last time that even happened? Like the 80s?
Son of Sam, is that right?
Yeah, was that like Son of Sam or some shit? I think there was some people after that, because wasn't Son of Sam in the 70s? But I swear, like, it hasn't happened in forever, because everybody wants you to know who they are.
So this guy, he's posting stuff on Facebook, and he's making sure to let everybody know that he's mad because his girlfriend and him got in a fight.
That just happened close to me, actually, like 2-3 weeks ago. Where they had some businesses in a town probably about a half hour of me locked down. And he, like, shot up, like, they thought it was a bank robbery at first, so the cops were called, and they locked down, like, a Subway and some other shit in, like, a lawyer's office. And it turned out this guy had just broken up with his wife, or she was, like, trying to file for divorce. And he went into the bank where she worked and, like, shot her and, like, another teller, and then went over to the lawyer's office, who I think was prosecuting the divorce, who was representing her and shot the lawyer and went over to the subway and like started shooting that place up.
So he killed the two people that he wanted to kill and then just decided, I'll just go kill other people now too. He got a taste for it.
Then he went back to their apartment and holed himself up, and then there was a standoff, and I think he got murdered too. So
by police?
Yeah, the police shot him up.
Yeah. So you gotta make a run for the border, you know?
I don't think they're going to make it if they're near Travis. I have a feeling that that southern border might be out of reach for them.
You go to Canada. Can't you go to Canada?
I think they'll just come get you in Canada.
They'll just come get you?
I don't think it's the same as Mexico.
Can't you just get a plane ticket and get out before anybody even finds you?
Probably not. Not with that many dead people.
You certainly think that, I mean,
the subway, that's taking it too far. Once you take it to the subway and start shooting randos, then you, but right, I mean, you got the two you wanted, and you already have a plane ticket bought. I mean, can't you plan that till you get on a plane and be gone?
Yeah, and there's sandwich artists in there. They're not going to fuck around if you're merch sandwich artists. But yeah, that makes complete sense to me. Like, if that's actually what you're going to do, like you said, plan your escape, go to the place she works, murder her, take off. Flee out the back door, get into a getaway car, go to some random airport, however far away.
I mean, if the timeline is tight enough, Travis, I mean, if you plan your trip, if you get a, you know, some good Google map directions and stuff, you could like get on the plane before anybody finds her and like have a pretty good alibi.
By the time they know who it was, they'll be like, okay, we got to figure out where this person is.
Yeah, but that guy's on a plane, so he's probably not the guy. You know?
Well, and even if he was on a plane, by the time they actually figure out who it was, if it was close enough and you didn't have too many layovers, I think you could get to your destination before they knew where to look next.
I still got like 3 weeks before I get my fridge, is what I was getting at.
So why did you put up with that amount of time?
Well, because I didn't have any other choice. I got the one that I wanted. They said the other ones would take like 2 weeks. So I figured, you know, if I'm already waiting 2 weeks, I might as well wait two more weeks, right?
No. Why didn't you go to Sears or anywhere?
I went to so many places, Napier. I went to so many places. Everybody said 2 weeks. I figure what I'm going to do is I'm going to get me a Craigslist fridge.
Yeah.
I'm going to put a Craigslist fridge in my garage until I get my good fridge for up here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll make the decision either to flip my Craigslist fridge Travis style.
Yeah.
Yeah, baby.
Or just have a garage fridge, which might come in handy.
I got a garage fridge. Are great.
If you're an alcoholic, garage fridges really come in handy.
Right. You have a garage fridge out there. You can keep some extra stuff in the freezer. You know, our freezer, it's pretty tight. We are both Sam's Club and Costco members. We like to buy in bulk. And, you know, what better way to utilize those memberships than by having two fridges? You know what I mean?
My outdoor fridge has nothing but, like, frozen pizzas and shit in there.
Just 28. You should have went to. Can you just had Amazon deliver it?
A fridge?
Oh, they sell everything. You can buy beds and shit from Amazon. Yeah, they sell fridges on Amazon. You probably could have had it by the end of this week.
That's a good question in the chat. Michelle asks if it drunk has like five fridges. He probably does. I could probably borrow a fridge from drunk.
Yeah, but then you'd have or to pack least. It up, and yeah.
Yeah, and then hassle. I got to give it back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, a temporary drunk fridge I don't think is my solution.
Possession is 9/10 of the law. Once it's in your house, what's he going to do?
Pick it up.
What's going on with you, buddy? You got stuff going on, Travis? How was your week? Did you do the swimming and the taekwondo today?
Oh, yeah, swimming and taekwondo. The kid wasn't focused. It was irritating the shit out of me. He was partnered up with the other high white belt, and they were running through a form, and she was nailing it, and he was playing with his belt, so... I was a little irritated with the boy.
How old is the boy?
5.
Oh. Well, what you going to do?
Just let him fool you. 5 is not that young.
Oh, no, it's a...
If he wants to focus on something, he can focus on something. He was having an off day, so it's fine.
That's
the extent of my week beyond watching Mystery Science Theater, the new Mystery Science Theater with Jonah Ray, which I would have to say is very, very good.
Yeah, I checked out a couple of them, and it's fun. I'm glad that that's back. Are they going to do a bunch of those? Are they going
to? They're waiting to see how this does. I know. I mean, the second episode, that Cry Wilderness movie, that's as good as any Mystery Science Theater episode has ever been. That one was great with the laughing Indian and the Bigfoot that shows up once in a while. Such a good episode.
I couldn't get into the first one. I like Patton, and I like that broad that he's with.
So you tried watching it and you didn't like it?
I liked the part where Patton Oswalt was in it, and I liked his that Felicia Day lady. I like them.
So you like all the people, but you don't like it.
Well, the commentary during the first movie, I thought, is kind of lame.
Lame?
Oh, they sang Little Red Corvette at one point. I thought that was
Little
great.
Little Red Corvette. That's the thing, is there's a lot of pop culture references.
Mm-hmm.
It's as much as the original, though, because once they plopped down a handful of the original episodes, I started watching them again because I think they just picked like some best ofs or maybe whatever they could get the rights to. And I watched some, and there are certain parts that are very dated because they also make pop culture references, which I understood, but I was born in 1980. So, but if anybody else beyond that is watching that movie, they're half of the shit is going to go over their head.
I always did like it back when it was first on. I don't know. Maybe I just need to keep watching them, you know, power through that first one, getting to the second one.
I think if you're not interested in the format and you don't like the jokes, I think you might as well just hang her up and forget about it.
I don't know. It's just that I liked it when it was on. I liked the jokes back then. That first one, it just didn't seem as good. I don't know. Maybe I need to watch the second one.
The second one is my pick of the week.
That's the one with the Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Cry Wilderness. It's so great with the kid and the weird dad and the laughing Indian they're always having big laughing fits.
My favorite part of that episode was at the very beginning when the title came up and they said, "Okay, if you insist." Wilderness! A solid joke.
Solid joke.
That's what I go for is the upscale humor, you know what I'm saying? The good stuff.
I have to ask you something.
What's that?
Are
you going to make fun of my shirt?
No.
Okay.
Am I the only person on the planet that doesn't post pictures to Facebook of dead goddamn dogs? I swear to God, like my aunt, my mom, coworkers, they'll post like shit about abused animals and how horrible it is.
Yeah, I don't want to look at abused animals on Facebook.
No, it's horrible. And I forget who did it, but somebody posted this.
I want to see some of them memes, you know?
Yeah.
Some of the memes.
You want to see uplifting stuff. And somebody posted this picture of this kid with like no fucking eyes and about how he's like,
no, rid of those goddamn people. Get rid of them.
I'm not saying get rid of them. I just don't want to, you know, be.
No, I am saying get rid of them.
Yeah,
get rid of them.
I deleted people within the last 3 weeks because they were posting after they dropped those bombs on Syria and they killed a bunch of civilians while they were doing that.
Yeah, I don't want to watch that.
There's like a man with his dead kids.
Look.
His twin babies.
You get on Facebook. You post memes.
Yep.
You post something.
Yeah, only memes.
You post something that I'm going to look at and get a good giggle out of. That's what I want out of my Facebook. I want some giggles.
They're
I want goddamn safe. Giggles. And like if you saw something neat that you think I should say, I don't want to be bummed out.
No. Yeah, there.
My life is depressing enough, Travis.
Condescending Wonka. I want Sean Bean from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, because something's coming, right?
Yeah, those are the things that I want.
Yeah.
Don't give me anything else.
You send me and Kermit the Frog sipping tea.
Yep, sipping
saying
tea.
Saying that stuff's none of his business. It's none of my business. Send me some memes.
Batman slapping Robin. I want to see Batman slapping Robin.
Yeah, because Robin is posting pictures of dead babies and dogs and stuff on Facebook. So he deserves a good slapping. That's what you do. Batman, you keep that Batman on your phone so you can send Batman slapping people.
There are two types of people that I unfollow from their little feed, so I never see their shit again.
I know it's your mom, Napier, but that's just a sacrifice you're going to have to make.
Oh, I know, but...
She posts dead babies, you just say, sorry, Mom,
I'm here for the joy. Animals.
I want to see some memes.
I also don't like the tits. Like, when I'm at work...
I like tits.
I like tits, too. But when I'm at work and I'm scrolling through my Facebook looking at, you know, hockey shit, the memes, you know, feel good, uplifty shit. And all of a sudden there's like a big thing of tits right in my face. Like I'm at fucking work. What if somebody were to look at my phone while I'm looking at titties?
They'd probably say, yeah, I also like tits. You're right.
Yep.
No, it'd be embarrassing. Remember that?
I'm sure that people would be, you know, that lady at the pizza place that was bummed out because I asked if she was alone.
She wasn't bummed out. She was frightened.
If I came in with my phone and I showed her two pictures, I showed her a picture of some tits, I showed her a picture of somebody killing a dog, which one do you think she'd be more bummed out about?
Probably that you did either of those.
Are you alone? Look at my phone here, quick.
Yeah, somebody killing a dog. Cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
Order for more.
Are you? Let me confirm again. Are you alone? Okay, let me show you a picture of some tits.
Oh, hold on, wait. Send prayers.
Guys.
One prayer.
We're going to go on break. When we come back, my brother the bear will be with us.
Excellent.
So, you stick around. Hey, everybody in chat, thanks.
Also, don't post pictures of dead dogs.
If you have a picture of a dead dog on your phone, delete it. You don't need that in your life.
Nope.
It's sad. Get you some...
Dogs are meant to be alive.
Get you some memes.
Yeah.
You know, remember that that guy that was crying about the rainbow? Post him on your Facebook wall.
Yeah, he's uplifting. He's friendly. He's so happy about those double rainbows.
Right.
Double rainbow.
Some goddamn memes. We'll be back.
Hello, this is Andrew WK, and you're listening to Strange Labels. Time to party.
Every Thursday, 9 a.m. Central, where we bring you a mashup of creepy headlines, crippling personal stories, and guests from all walks of life.
Like us on Facebook
and follow us on Twitter at The Lotus Cast.
So one day, I forget how it came up, but she's like, "Hey, you should model some of my underwear for me." And I was like, "Oh, well, sure, I'll do that." So I did, modeled some underwear. She took a picture of it, and she gave the picture to the lead singer, and he posted it as the main profile picture on our MySpace page for the band. And we had a lot of followers, and people were really upset that my ass was on the front page. You get a girl, you're like, she's like, put on some underwear, and you're like, yeah, you just put them on, right? No?
All this and more at thelotuscast.com.
Here is Mike with a quick update on the WFOD Hollywood Fantasy League.
Smurfs made 10 points. That puts the Lotus Cast ahead of us by 60 points. The Fate of the Furious put up 56 of the 60 we need this past weekend. So a full week of it being pretty much alone in theaters should be enough. The Lost City of Z is only coming out in 500 theaters next weekend, so let's just hope none of the stars die or anything to give people a reason to go see it. We should win. I hate that it was close enough for me to be worried, but I don't think I need to worry anymore. The belt is coming home. Confirmation coming next week.
Looking for the perfect gift for your young ones? Look no further. Dixco presents the Mike Moore doll. This 10-inch hero will complement the collection of kids young or old.
I keep it in the box so it retains its value. Hashtag Team Mike.
You can pose him, you can move his mouth, or you can dress him up in lady clothes. It's your doll. We aren't going to tell you how to use it.
His narcissism is so lifelike.
The Mike Moore doll even includes three classic Mike scenes.
We have a great show tonight, guys. I like feet. Eat lead, Cobra.
Don't miss your opportunity to own a mic of your own. Go to WFODix.com and get one today. Supplies are limited. Act now.
Once again, WFOD, Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks.
There's a wolf at the door. He's hungry and steady. On the 37th floor, he's young but he's ready to relinquish his boyhood expectations. He works with his hands, he works with his heart. The wolf licks his lips and tears him apart. Because no honest deed goes unnoticed. I am that boy, seed turned a tree, busted up lip, red skinned up knees, throat turned to rust from nights entertaining. Boy who cried wolf. The rent has come due, and the pantry is empty. Take good care what you choose when there's no road to safety. 'Cause the wolves never sleep around here.
Hello and welcome back from Cincinnati. Our guest tonight is Daniel Bayer, who records under the moniker My Brother the Bear. You can download tracks from his new EP, Crooked Tree, now on mybrotherthebear.bandcamp.com. Daniel, how's it going, man?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
Hey, no problem. So, I want to tell you guys a story real quick. I don't think I told. I get these band submissions on the email for the website all the time, and I open like 20 of them a week, and 18 of them a week are just unlistenable garbage, right? And so when you get a lot of unlistenable garbage, you just get so much unlistenable garbage. Then you know you start to get a little jaded on it, and you know you kind of open it kind of half rolling your eyes before you even hit the link. So I'm sitting in the parking lot waiting for my girlfriend to get off work to pick me up. And Daniel submits his music. I open the track, half rolling my eyes already. And I clicked on the first link. And I'm sitting there listening to the damn song. And it gets me kind of welly, guys.
Teared you up a little bit.
Teared me up a little bit, yeah. And I don't really know why, because you know what? I've listened to the song since then. Lyrics don't pertain to me at all. I have no idea. I have no idea what happened. But I'm sitting there in the parking lot of a grocery store at 9:30 at night, crying like a little girl. And I don't know what happened to me, Daniel. I don't know what you did.
It's that sad bastard magic, man. I've been perfecting it for years.
Perfect.
So I think I replied to you and told you that you touched me is what you did.
Yeah.
You touched me. And I read your bio, and it kind of, you know, like, you know, we draw from life experience on this show, and you know, like I can take having my fridge die and turn that into like something entertaining, but you know, it lacks poetry. And you know, I read that you grew up in kind of a musical family, and you kind of developed the chops to be able to like play your instrument and stuff. But then you write in songs, and you thought that you didn't have any life experience worth writing about.
They're all kind of naive, you know, because I grew up in a small Irish Catholic community where everybody did the same thing, lived in the same neighborhoods all their lives, and went to the same high schools, and that's kind of how you chose your friends. So there wasn't really any type of growth or exploration involved in my upbringing. So I knew I wanted to do music, but all the stuff that I was writing was just kind of, I don't know, generic and gimmicky, I guess.
Right. And so you joined the military for artistic inspiration is what your website said.
That's kind of messed up, isn't it?
Jesus.
I mean, you know, like my first thought would be like to get, you know, all the Tom Petty records and just drive around the country for a while.
But, right. Or like rent a villa somewhere and stare off into the sunset. It's like, nope. Well, Daniel's going into the military.
It was kind of a combination of me like fighting this. Me knowing that I wanted to write music and play music, and fighting the fact that I was making no money and pretty much living out of my car, and the fact that, well, maybe I'm not happy with the music because I don't really have anything to write about. So it was kind of a win-win. I got somebody to put me to work for 6 years and pay me, and then I got to actually, you know, go experience some stuff that I could actually use for my true passion, which was the music.
So I guess you were kind of searching for some sort of purpose also.
I was kind of trying to live more than what I was living, but I couldn't really afford to, you know, just doing it in how I was in Cincinnati. So joining the Army and being kind of locked into that commitment and having to go wherever they send you and, you know, getting the chance to meet all people from all over the world and stuff. That was just kind of like, okay, well, this, I didn't even think about the like personal risk to myself or anything like that. It was just kind of like, well, this is like the perfect thing for me right now.
Guys, Drunk is here. Drunk showed up during the break. I didn't tell anybody that Drunk was here. Guys, hi, Drunk.
Hey.
Hi, Drunk. How are you? We're talking to Daniel. He goes, why did you decide on My Brother the Bear as a band name when you're just one guy?
Well, my last name's Bear like the aspirin, and my whole life my nickname has kind of been Brother Bear. And when I got out of the Army and I first started playing music, I like you said, I grew up in a musical family, so when I got out of the Army and started really writing and really, you know, playing this music out a lot, I got my actual brother to come play drums and sing harmony with me, because so many places were just like, some sad bastard guy with a guitar isn't really, you know, what we want. So, you know, he's a rock drummer, and it kind of added enough of an element to it to get us our foot into some venues. And it was just kind of a no-brainer then, you know, that we were both brothers. Our last name was Bear, and so it kind of just came about.
It's something that we talked about a couple of weeks ago, you know, how people who make reality television, they know they're being filmed and they have to create some kind of conflict. You are a garbage person, and people are watching it because you're a garbage person. Do you act out purposely because of that? And it's like, I wonder if it, like, while you're writing... And if you have no inspiration, if you kind of, in a way, kind of make it for yourself, you like make drama unnecessarily. Like, you know, like a lot of the flawed people make the best art, you know, with like
addiction.
Are
you asking
if
he like right, takes, yeah, like takes risks and puts himself into situations?
Well, I mean,
that
he joined the Army to make better songs, Travis. What I'm saying is,
well,
like,
and
you know,
also to live, he said, though.
Right, yeah, right. But, yeah, I mean, like, you know, a lot of the most flawed people make the best music, whether it be,
I think that,
you know,
I think that is true. And I think there are, you know, just out of some of the experiences that I've had with meeting people through touring and getting the chance to meet some people that have had some success in this business or whatever, it's, I think some people do force it. I think the most powerful people that I've met musically are the people that they write songs because it's something that interests them, and then it's their talent that turns it into like a universal type thing,
right? And so it's kind of like a perfect storm. You know, there's probably some really talented people that just have a very charmed life,
right? Yeah.
But I mean, like, think about, you know, where would Taylor Swift be if she hadn't been in all those terrible breakups, Daniel? You know what I mean? I mean, if John Mayer hadn't broken her heart, then damn, she wouldn't have written any of those songs.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's both your gift and your curse. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, I think that's because once you start doing it, once you start putting yourself into it, it's like anything. You really can't stop. It kind of becomes who you are, and the curve of success is just so undefined and so willy-nilly. You know, it's just like you never really know if all this effort that you put into this passion is going to pay off or not. So you got to kind of have to balance that with it making you feel good, too, you know, emotionally, if not financially.
Well, that's the thing. Wouldn't that make you feel better to always stay true to your like artistic notions where you're trying to constantly find things that to be your muse rather than once you get to that certain point where people are like, yeah, man, we like your music, just start churning out things that you know are going to be popular, so all of your songs sound exactly the same. Because
right.
I've seen that happen with far too many artists that I actually respected quite a bit in their early careers, and they just knew what was working, so they just continued to do that, and the substance falls off, and it's kind of like just a shell of their former glory.
It's such a hard thing because, I mean, you want to write songs. I mean, starving artists write the best songs, but you got to eat to write songs. You know what I mean? So it's
right,
like, you
the
have
balance.
To balance that. I just always try and be just kind of true to myself and true to what I want the music to be. in the same sense as, you know, in the same way being accessible to people, you know, accessible to where even if my type of music isn't their cup of tea, they can still listen to it and say, oh, that's, you know, that's a good song.
So there's no chance later in your career we're going to hear a song from you that's something like, hey, girl, you make me want to roll my pickup truck window down.
I'm actually thinking about I think I may start like a screamo folk band where we just do all acoustic instruments, but everybody's, you know, screaming their throats out. Like,
that sounds amazing, actually.
You corner a market there, and there's probably a demand that you don't even know about.
Create a genre. Yeah,
I mean, Aaron Lewis is making country music. It's all up in the air now. You never know.
I know. So is Hootie. Hootie's making country music.
But I mean, we're talking mud shovel guy, Daniel. I mean, Hootie was already halfway there.
I thought he sold out when he was in Stained.
The headliner from the Family Values tour is faking
Steven,
twang.
Steven Tyler released a country album, didn't he?
It's really, really bad too. It's one of the worst things ever. I don't think we've really crapped on the Steven Tyler country album as much as we probably should have. I guess we have something for next week now, guys. Daniel, I see that you got a lot of tour dates coming up, and they all seem to kind of be in the middle of the country, your Alabamas and your Kentuckys. Is there no demand for you on the coast?
Well, I about a year ago, I went out west and did some shows with some friends of mine, some songwriters out there, Willie T. Taylor and Chris Dowd. And that was a lot of fun, but it took so much planning and organization because they all tour around a lot too. And if I was going to go out there, I pretty much do everything on my own. So I'm my manager, my booking agent, all that stuff. So being able to book shows to where I can do this as a living and still be able to travel as much as I do is kind of a blessing. So there's plans later on in fall to head back out west. To Northern California, San Francisco, and some of the small gold panning towns out there. But the Northeast and the Southeast is something that I've been doing, you know, back and forth pretty much for 4 years now. So those are more like just kind of one-off trips that I do. It's really crossing the country and getting through the Rocky Mountains. You know, there's a lot of area to the east of the Rockies that is kind of dead for music, so you kind of have to either fly over there or just plan a whole vacation to drive out there. So it's kind of something that I have to plan for a lot. And not really being from out there too often, I don't really have much of a following. So finding the venues that kind of have a built-in crowd or getting to be able to put shows together with people out there helps a lot.
And when you call them, what do? Do you send them a link and say, hey, this is my music? Do you think that people would like it here, or do you?
Yeah, lots of times I do that. My emails are pretty simple and straightforward. You know, it's pretty much just, hey, this is me. This is my music. This is what I do. You know, I'd love to come play your place. You know, let me know. I'm looking for this date. Let me know, you know, if it works for you. Then we start talking about, well, do you want to do a door show or guarantee or things like that? You know, right. So it's like if I can make it work, you know, I'll play for free as long as I can get the music out to people and maybe sell some merch and things like that. And at the same sense, I'll play a restaurant to five people who aren't really listening if the money gets me down the road to the next show, you know? Right. So it's just kind of, it's the whole thing's a balancing act. You know, sometimes I feel like a trapeze artist, but it's a lot of fun.
And when you get up on a stage, when
there it is, Mike's question. I was going to remind you if you didn't ask it.
On a stage, Daniel, when you're yep. performing in front of people, you get up there with your guitar. What do you do with your wallet? Do you leave your wallet backstage? Do you keep it in your pocket? Do you throw it in your guitar case? Where does your wallet go during a show?
I lock it up in my guitar case when I play.
Can you see your guitar case, or is it backstage somewhere?
It's backstage, and I usually tuck it away somewhere pretty safe. But my guitar case has got a lock on it, so
there you go. That's the way to do it. You got a guitar case with a lock. That's not standard, is it? Do they typically have locks?
No, it's a pretty old case. I don't think they make them with locks. They make like a little loop where you can put like a padlock in them. That's pretty standard. But the ones that actually have a lock on them, they don't. That it's a pretty old case.
So Travis, there you go. It's another backstage guy.
That's the first. That's the first padlocked guitar case we've
padlocked
had.
Guitar case is a new one. Yeah, that's new. But it's always backstage. Nobody has their damn wallet on them.
Well, no, we had one guy that put his on the speaker. Remember?
Right. Yeah. There was one with a speaker. Right.
Oh man. Sometimes you know. Sometimes when you play these long shows, you know, you drink a little bit, and you're lucky if you get out of there with your guitar and your if you brought a microphone. I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want to leave my wallet on the speaker.
So Daniel, you don't really. Do you know why the song got me?
No, I really don't.
Is it a sad song?
It's not really a sad song. Like I wrote it kind of as like it's amazing we're doing it now over the internet. You know, we're connecting and we're talking and we're gonna do this song. And I kind of started getting into like the messenger, the Facebook messenger thing in the Army, because it was a way of me of keeping in touch with friends and family. And just recently, I kind of noticed the little video camera icon on Facebook Messenger.
Yeah.
So one night I'd had a couple of soda pops and I was a little curious and I clicked it and it brought open a video screen and, you know, my buddy answered it on his phone. I was like, oh no, you know, this is kind of bad for me. Cause it's like one of my biggest problems is I'm a serious drunk dialer. You know, I'll call up somebody that I hadn't talked to in years and be like, hey, I know you're married and have kids now, but just wanted to know what you were doing. You know?
just curious.
Yeah, you know, so it kind of fed that bad habit of mine that I had, and but at the same time, it was kind of like really, I was kind of like curious. Is like, I wonder if anybody else does this. I wonder if this is like a common thing where people just get, you know, FaceTimed at 4 o'clock in the morning by their drunk friends, whether at the club or whatever. And apparently, I found out it's a pretty common thing, so I didn't feel too bad.
Can you play it? I guess.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
It's called Everything's Fine. I got a little drunk, and that's why I called you. Everything's fine. Sorry if I woke you. I was just hoping to get to your voicemail. Everything's fine. Just thinking about you. Oh, everything's fine. Yes, everything's fine. How is your work? How is your mother? Tell her hello. She always kind of liked me. How are your kids? Do you ever think about us? Everything's fine. I hardly even notice the change. Yes, everything's fine. Oh, everything's fine. Yes, everything. Thank you. glad we talked to and answered these questions. Someday I'd love to meet up for coffee. Tomorrow's no good, no nothing, everything's fine. Yes, everything's fine. Oh, everything's fine. Yes, everything's fine. Go. It's 4 in the morning. Glad we talked to and answered these questions.
It got you?
Got me.
In the chat, everybody's saying they think it's a sad song. I think Daniel's wrong. Daniel, you got some sadness in you that you don't know.
Mike, if you don't know why this, of course everything's not fine.
It's not fine.
Fine. You might think it's fine, but it's not fine.
My brother, the bear, .bandcamp.com, guys. Go there, check that out. You check that song out. The rest of the songs are all good. Damn good.
Appreciate it, guys.
Daniel, hey, buddy, do you have a website? Were you talking about selling merch before? Do you have a website or anything where people can purchase stuff?
You can go to mybrotherthebear.com, and there's this EP is the third recording that I've done. So there's 2 full-length albums on the website, and this 5-song EP is on there also.
And you got the tweeter, too, at My Brother the Bear, probably?
Yeah, the tweeter is at My Bro the Bear, because My Brother the Bear was too much. Long. I'm not really a bro guy, but, you know, whatever.
Hey, you're going to dry the tears off my eyes. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Daniel, thanks a lot, buddy. Thanks for coming on and doing this.
Thanks,
Daniel.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
No problem. You take it easy.
All right, you too.
It's a sad song, Travis.
Holy shit.
He said it wasn't sad, but it is.
Well, you didn't know. You asked him. You didn't know why. It didn't apply.
Well, I listened to it again, and I was trying to dissect the lyrics and finding what the hell hit me.
Just the fine part. Like, it's exactly
not fine.
It's the fact that
everything sucks, Travis.
Everybody's constantly telling themselves that they're fine.
Quit trying to assure me it's fine, because it's not.
That's that was great. I like that guy.
I think it's just that you're getting old, Mike.
You think that's it? It's like a questioning my mortality is what's going on?
So the other day, my lady was watching one of those Ancestry commercials, and she just starts bawling out of nowhere. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with you? She's like, I don't know.
There's probably Nazis in my family.
I'm like, you're just getting old. That's what the deal is.
It is. Like, I have gotten way sentimental and, like, introspective since I've gotten older and older, and the kids are getting older, and time is going so fast. I'm more prone to tears now than I ever was in my younger years.
Guy's fucking good, isn't he?
He's good. That was great.
I mean, that was over fucking Skype, man. Guy's fucking good.
Yeah. See Daniel if you're my brother the bear.
He's doing a lot of Midwestern dates. So if you're in the Midwest, check out his website. See if he's playing around you. I would love some joker to walk up to that guy after a show and tell him that he heard him here. That would just tickle me to death. Let me tell you, this show is fueled by compliments.
No, you are.
Compliments and telling Daniel Bayer on one of his tour dates that you heard him on the show. That would just tickle me to death. That's what keeps the show running, is people acknowledging that the show is goddamn great.
The show's fueled by recognition, and I'm fueled by Bullet Rye Whiskey.
How is that, by the way?
It's amazing. It's my favorite whiskey.
All I got at home is Fetka.
If anybody wants to buy me a bottle and send it to me, I'd be more than happy to accept it. Because as of now, nobody has gone to the Facebook page and purchased me any of that original comic book art that I posted to our page that I suggested. That
somebody in the chat is saying that I'm going through menopause. And somebody says that the song kind of reminds them of Landslide. I can see Landslide. Yeah, kind of got a Landslide vibe to it. Makes you think about getting old, right? Probably has nothing to do with getting old, but it's the way it made me feel.
The only
it's like
song
reconnecting
that...
with other people that you haven't seen in a while and trying to tell yourself everything's going to be all right. That's what I got from it.
Yeah, I love that, guys.
I do, too.
So, I had one other thing that I wanted to share. I heard of the new Seether song on the radio the other day.
And
it reminded me of another song. And I just want to know if it reminds you guys of another song. And if it doesn't, don't worry. I'll tell you what song it is.
Let me put my ears on real fast
here. All right. Do you want to hear the Seether song? And then I'll stop it and see if you can guess what song I think it sounds like.
Am I going to hear this?
Probably. If you listen real closely, Travis.
All right.
This is the new Seether single they're playing on the radio.
I like Seether.
I do too, for the most part. Do you hear it, Drunk?
Yeah, that sounds like Seether.
Kind of sounds like White Stripes.
You don't get what that sounds like?
Alice in Chains?
In the chat room, Jody's already got it.
Yeah.
It sounds exactly like a Tool song. It sounds exactly like Stink Fist by Tool. I'll play Stink Fist by Tool so you guys know what I'm talking about. Right?
Yeah.
Doesn't it sound very similar?
Yeah, it's the exact same song.
It's the exact same song.
from over here, it sounds like the exact same intro.
No, it's a little more upbeat.
I don't know if they... I put them both together, you hear? It's the same thing.
It's upbeat. Yeah. I guarantee you Tool played that more upbeat.
Yeah.
At a certain point.
It's the same fucking song. I heard it, and I was like, who the fuck's ripping off Tool? And then I looked, and I was like, Seether? Come on, guys.
Either probably about 10 years ago, they played Summerfest in Milwaukee, and a buddy and I, like, for a good 5 solid years, always went to Summerfest, but we didn't have any plans. We never saw anything on the main stage. We just showed up in Milwaukee looking for a place to stay, and then we would, like, just go to Summerfest for, like, 2 days. And one of our most exciting things was that we got drunk off blackberry brandy and Seether was playing at the Mountain Dew stage that night. So we stayed, we walked through the grounds and then we showed up for Seether that night at 9 o'clock or whenever it was. And Seether pops on. We were both Seether fans. And they start playing and they sounded great. They sounded like Seether. And then I started paying attention to what was happening and the lead singer didn't move. He looked like Cousin It on stage. He had his head down and his hair covered his face and his microphone was underneath the hair that was covering his face and he was just singing and playing guitar. He looked like a robot. And we were wondering, like, I was like, is this just his like stage persona? Is this how this guy puts on a concert? Well, 2 days later he was supposed to play a county fair up closer to me. We got back home and it turned out he canceled the very day after he played that Summerfest set and checked himself into rehab.
So he was all drugged up?
And just so fucked up
during
that Summerfest.
So damn still that...
He couldn't handle doing it. He, like, very next day checked himself into rehab.
Poor dude.
Yeah, I was listening to that on the radio. And it's interestingly enough, the there was a radio show in St. Louis a couple of years ago. There was two guys and their names were Woody and Rizzuto. They did the Woody and Rizzuto show.
What did they get fired over?
Well, they didn't get fired. Woody was offered a job in Los Angeles and left, and Rizzuto stayed in St. Louis and did the same show. But the guy who went to Los Angeles moved there and does the same show he did here there. Well, they recently just
hired him on a rival station to like
to Rizzuto?
No, Woody. Woody, who was in Los Angeles, is now simulcasting in St. Louis. So you can hear either Rizzuto or Woody in St. Louis at the same time doing the same show. So like your options are to listen to Woody do the same show or Rizzuto do the same show. They do all the same bits. They do everything the same, but like they're on different stations.
So they obviously had a pretty bad breakup where they're not talking anymore.
Well, no, I don't think they had a bad breakup, but I mean, he was offered more money to go to Los Angeles, so he moved.
Just the one, though? How does that happen if you're Woody and Rizzuto?
I don't know.
Does it happen where somebody says, hey, you know, we really like what you guys do, but we only want Woody, not Rizzuto?
You can flip from station to station and hear like all the same drops and all the same production and stuff, just saying different names. And it's hilarious.
If you had two devices, though, Mike, couldn't you recreate the old Woody and Rizzuto show?
You could just, sync them up and probably have them talk to each other. And I mean, you know how all this shit goes. They're probably all talking about pretty much the same topics.
They should call it into each other's shows, like on an off time, like if they don't have anything planned to be like, hey.
I mean, there's probably 20 shows, podcasts this week talking about their fridges and shit, you know?
At least one.
One of them has My Brother the Bear on it, though.
That's right. We got the My Brother the Bear scoop is what we got.
Excellent.
I have two refrigerators in my kitchen.
Drunk, can I borrow one of your refrigerators?
Maybe.
Can I just put it in my garage for a month?
What's wrong with your fridge?
It's dead. It's dead, Drunk.
I got
28 days later, he's getting a new one.
I got a guy.
You got a fridge guy?
Yeah.
You got a guy who's got a lead on a fridge?
Yeah, I'll give you the name after we get off there.
Like, you should have known that you should have just contacted Drunk about any fridge or dresser needs.
If I need appliances or furniture, yes, I go to Drunk.
Same way with dishwashers, washing machines. I got a guy for that.
You got a refrigerator and washing machine guy? Is that why you have so many?
Yeah. I got two dryers.
Why do you have two dryers, Drunk? Why the fuck do you have two dryers?
Well, the wash machine kind of like goes quickly, but the dryer does not, so...
Napier.
For every...
He has two dryers. They're both hooked up so that he can streamline the laundry process.
Mike,
because the washer works faster than the dryer, and Drunk ain't got time to wait, Napier.
You have to understand that when you have guys, you have to keep them...
Drunk, you don't have two dryers hooked up in your laundry room.
I swear, I'll take a picture.
Drunk, you do not have two dryers hooked up in your laundry room.
Yeah, I sure do.
Add it to the collection of weird drunk shit.
Travis, this is crazy, right? Can you believe like how we still manage to discover things about each other every week? I mean, how are we now finding out that Drunk has two dryers? Drunk, in your home, let's just knock it out of the park right now. In your home, is there any other unusual duplications of appliances? I mean, how many microwaves do you have?
No, let's find this out organically, just like we found out about the dryers. This is great.
Did you say you have two microwaves?
Yeah.
Oh, are they both next to each other?
No, one's upstairs and one's down at the bar.
Drunk has a bar?
Drunk has a bar.
Okay, so what goes in the bar microwave that you need another one downstairs?
Your typical shit, the popcorn, the, you know, pizza, whatnot.
So you're down at the bar, you're like, fuck, I need some popcorn, but I don't want to go upstairs. Good thing I have a microwave down here.
Yeah.
How often do you use both dryers? I mean, like, fire them both up at the same time.
Well, I only do laundry 1 to 2 days a week, so I just kind of have a streamlined process going.
So you throw stuff in the dryer, you throw stuff in the washer, and then the dryer's probably still going when the washer's done, so then you start up the other dryer.
Correct.
That's amazing.
What does your electric bill look like? Jesus Christ.
It's quite high.
Tell me what your electric bill is per month.
During the summertime, since I have a pool, it can get up to like $350.
Oh my God.
Travis, Drunk has two dryers and I have zero refrigerators.
And he has a bar. How many bars do you have?
I have no bars.
You have no bars.
Do you not have any, like, bottles of vodka or anything? Or?
Mike only has a case of sangria from Costco.
Travis, don't you think that, I mean, like, these life experiences that you seek out to make great art, I mean, don't you think that we're just living it through drunk? We don't have to do anything of note. We can just follow the examples that drunk leaves to create things.
Dude, I'm telling you, get a second dry, it'll change your
life. I feel like I'll be very uninspired when drunk is gone. Next week, Travis, the last drunk show for months.
No, I just kind of want to hang out at drunk's house.
No, you said you were going to be here next week,
drunk. No, I'm in Oregon next week.
Drunk.
Motherfucker, you said that was next week was your last week.
You told us that next week was your last week, drunk.
Yeah, last week I said next week is my last week.
No, drunk, because we talked about it and we said that you were going to do the Hollywood Fantasy League, which is next week.
Apparently that's not going to happen.
So this is the goodbye drunk show?
Yep.
And we didn't even know?
No, but we got a song. I mean,
that song makes me sad now because now I'm going to equate it to drunk being gone. Guys,
is everything fine, Mike?
No, it's not. Makes me sad.
I'm gonna try my best to do the 30th, but I'm not positive.
We're not doing a show that week.
Oh well, then this is the last week for sure.
Napier, picks of the weeks. Anything you want the people to know?
Go Toronto Maple Leafs.
Go Canada teams in general. We're rooting Canada.
Yeah, just cuz.
Yeah, St. Louis and then any Canada team.
No, go Oilers. I'm not a fan of McJesus. But go Toronto Maple Leafs. They've had a rough go of it.
McDynasty doesn't do it for you?
No, he's not pulling my chain.
In the chat they're asking if we can party at Drunk's house.
Apparently we can. All we need
Drunk. We can throw some kind of party at your house, right?
Yeah.
Everybody's invited to Drunk's house. Travis, pick of the week.
Hey, man, if we do an actual drunk party at Drunk's house, maybe I'll come down.
Well, if nothing else, we'll Skype into it for sure.
I'll tell you what. If don't you think it's about time we start thinking about maybe Travis coming and visiting? Travis, when are you going to come and visit, buddy? It'll be quite an event.
Why don't we go visit Travis?
Travis, we're all coming up to your house. You got some couches? How many couches you got?
I got one couch.
It's not enough couches. Drunk knows a guy.
I have a screen porch. I have a couch in the screen porch. Somebody could sleep in there. And a recliner in the screen
porch. Napier, what do you think? We get some sleeping bags. We go have a camp out in Travis's backyard.
I have like 4 acres. You guys could put like a camper here, a tent or something.
And now I'll Skype in. I hate to have somebody not Skype in 1 week.
Drunk, buddy.
Drunk's pick of the week, or let's make it the next 5 months, is the the audience of the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks. You guys are great, and
Drunk, this isn't goodbye. No. This is see you later.
Well, you thought it was goodbye last time, and I proved you wrong. So
it's still a pretty great pick of the week. Good job, Drunk.
Absolutely, thank you very much,
guys.
And I have like 9 couches at my house. But
Drunk has a lot of couches.
I'll ship one up.
Surprise, surprise.
Probably like 7 beds too.
The Toronto Maple Leafs have won tonight. They are up on their series 2-1 on the Capitals.
We were having a touching moment saying goodbye to Drunk.
Maybe. He's not going away. He literally lives 10 minutes away from your house.
It's not goodbye. It's see you later. Well, we'll do things with Drunk. We're going to find a way. Last time we were very negligent in that promise. Not this time.
No, we had zoo tips. Or zoo facts. Last time.
Yeah, we need to get some more zoo facts.
No, we got something else, right?
Everything's fine. Is that how it goes?
Yeah, that's how it goes.
Everything's fine.
Well, we'll be back next week, guys. Thank you for being around.
Well, that's my mom.
Everything's fine. Yes, everything. Thank you. 4 in the morning, glad we talked to and answered these questions.
I want you to know it's over.
Well, bye.
Guys, it's Napier. Listen live, 9-8 Central, on strangelabel.com. Listen to back episodes at wfodix.com. Twitter, @ WFODshow. Facebook.com/WFODix. You can email us at WFODshow@gmail.com. Our voicemail is 636-487-HAND. Thanks to our Patreon sponsors, Brian Kranz and Liquid Lozenge.
Hey guys, Mike here. If you go to WFODix.com and look under the Extras tab, you'll find a link to our Patreon. That gives you the opportunity to donate your hard-earned dollars to support the amateur cocksuckers who do that podcast you're considering removing from your iTunes library. Look, it's there if you want it. If not, just click on something else, like our outdated bio or the collection of songs Napier butchered. We're just happy you exist. The world is a cold, cold place without those sweet, sweet likes.
Whoa, that's a full rainbow. All the way. Double rainbow. Oh my God. It's a double rainbow all the way. Whoa, that's so intense. Whoa, man. Wow. Whoa. Whoa! Whoa! Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God! Woo! Oh! Wow! Woo! Yeah! Oh my God! Look at that! It's starting to even look like a triple rainbow. Oh my God, it's full on. Double rainbow all the way across the sky. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh God. What does this mean? Oh my God. Oh God. It's so bright. Oh my God. It's so bright and vivid. Oh. It's so beautiful. Double complete rainbow. Oh, my front yard. Oh my. Oh my God, what's it mean? Help me. Too much. Tell me what it means. Oh my God. It's so intense.